How's everyone? Good, 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 good. Michael is well this morning. Michael is okay. Yankees won last night. Jab that in real quick, so all is good. I've lost like 90% of you in just that one word. Yankees won. Well, I'm done. Ears off. If you're visiting here with us, last week we started a little three-week series. If you're wondering where David is in Germany with some military training that he has going on pretty much every July. David travels somewhere around the world, and he has some military training. So that's where David's at, if you're kind of wondering where he is. He'll be back on the 29th, so you guys have got me for one more week. Last week we started a series, kind of Matters of the Heart. This other way of maybe saying setting our heart. What does that mean? What does that look like? And last week we looked at 2 Chronicles chapters 9 through 12 through the life of Rehoboam and the roller coaster ride that was Rehoboam's life. Rehoboam started off exceedingly well, but as we saw last week, he finished exceedingly poorly. There were moments where he was setting his heart upon seeking after the Lord, and that not only blessed him, but it blessed everyone else who was associated with him. Since he was the king, that meant all of Israel. But when he stopped seeking the Lord, that messed up his life, and as a result, that messed up all of Israel. And one of the points that I hope you guys took away from last week was our walk with Jesus just isn't about our personal walk with Jesus. It's bigger than that. It's more than that. When you are pursuing or when you are seeking after the Lord, it blesses not only you, but it blesses everyone who is around you. And when we stop seeking after the Lord first in our life, it not only jacks us up, but it jacks up everybody else who's around us too. So this week we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to take a different kind of approach. It's a next step in setting our hearts to seeking after the Lord. And I hope you guys will be able to kind of follow along with me here. We're going to be looking very quickly at Nehemiah chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible, you can please grab one of ours. It'll be under the seat in front of you. It'll be on page 342 if you need one of our Bibles. But Nehemiah chapter 1 is where we're going to be at this morning. Last week, I referenced a couple of things. The first one is this. What do we give our first place energy to? What has our first place priorities in life? And that is just kind of a self-examine type of question. It's at the end of the day where you look back over the day and you say, all right, did I give God my first place energy today? Did I give God my first place priorities amongst all the busyness or amongst the not-so-busyness of that particular day? And it's a general day-to-day question. Am I giving God the first place energy in my life? And the second thing that we wrestled with is, are we setting our hearts on pursuing after or seeking after God first? For a heart that has not set itself upon pursuing after God is a heart that has already put God second. And two things that I wanted us to wrestle with, and not just a one-time Sunday thing, but a habitual thing that we wrestle with every day, is this idea of assessing and adjusting. Paying attention to the rhythms of our life. Paying attention to the rhythms of our habits and our behaviors and our attitudes. Assessing our lives. Being honest about where we're at. And then making needful adjustments. Making adjustments in our life that will lead us towards pursuing after God. That was last week, and we looked at the roller coaster ride of Rehoboam. For today, the same big picture, but another step is needed in the process of setting our hearts on pursuing after or seeking after the Lord. An awakening needs to take place.
There has been an awakening. Have you?
All right. Star Wars, for those of you who just heard a little bit of it, there needs to be an awakening in our lives. An awakening needs to occur. An awakening that looks something like this. God, I want you to awaken my heart God, I want you to awaken my mind. God, I want you to awaken my will for your purposes, for the good of your church, for the blessing and well-being of those whom you place in my life. God, I want to put myself in a place to embrace your presence. God, I want. God, I want. I want you. Not so much things that come from you. God, will you give me? God, will you give me? God, will you give me? Sometimes we treat God like a vending machine. But God, I want you to awaken me to your presence, to your good. God, I want you. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they were physically present, but you knew that in their mind and in their heart there was somebody else. They were somewhere else. Anybody ever experienced that? I think all of us can raise our hands where we've been in conversations with somebody and they were physically there, but they were somewhere else. Not only can we say, yes, we've been there, we can also say, yes, I've done that. Because all of us have in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I hear Carrie amening from the children's church room. I remember her telling me once, in that sweet southern tone of hers, I don't just need you here. Michael, I don't just need you here, but I need you awake. I need you present. I need you to be awake. And as she was preaching to me, I said, hey, that'll preach. That'll work. And then they'll put that down. I need you to be awake. For I am convinced that Cuyahoga Falls doesn't need another church that simply gathers and consumes songs and sermon and then goes on about its merry way of life. For all of our cities that we represent, from Cuyahoga Falls to Stowe to Hudson to Talmadge to Akron to Kent to Streetsboro, all the cities that we live in and that we represent, they desperately need followers of Jesus who are awake to the voice of God, awake to the heart of God, awake to the will of God, awake to the word of God, awake to the desires and the purposes of God, awake to one another, awake to the cities that we all come from, awoken to the hurts and the dreams. God is calling us to set our hearts to seek after Him. And a step in that direction is directly connected to God awakening us. God, wake us up. But for some of us, waking up is hard to do. Some of us, waking up isn't that hard to do. But for some of us, waking up is really, really hard to do. Now, for a show of hands, and no shame here, no shame here at all, for those among us, waking up is pretty easy. Raise your hands. Waking up isn't that big of a deal. Like you wake up and you don't need coffee. Coffee needs you type of thing in order to exist. Okay? All right. Those of you that know me well know I wake up pretty easily. And for the rest of you that waking up isn't very easy, no shame, no shame. You need coffee. Coffee's there for you. But we can be honest. For some of us, waking up is very, very hard to do. But what I believe God is calling us to see is that if we choose to set our hearts on pursuing after God, on seeking after God, one of the steps He will take is that He will awaken our hearts. And once He awakens our hearts, that will affect every other aspect of our lives. So, Nehemiah chapter 1. I hope you guys are still there. The historical setting, very, very quick historical setting, just to get you into the context and into the frame of what's going on. Nehemiah's story takes place 450 years before the birth of Jesus. The controlling powers of the time was the nation of Persia, which is modern-day Iran. And Nehemiah was living there as right-hand man to the king, King Artaxerxes. Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king. which meant Nehemiah's responsibility was to taste the king's wine before the king did. He was the wine tester to make sure that the wine wasn't poisoned. Now, you can follow with me. That doesn't necessarily sound like a very, very big job. It's a very risky job, if you really think about it. But it was also a very intimate job. It was a very trustworthy responsibility that Nehemiah had with the king. The king trusted Nehemiah. It's a place of great intimacy. That responsibility would be a place of great trust. A risky one for Nehemiah, no doubt. But with all the risk came this level of comfort and care and security that came from Nehemiah being the right-hand man to Artaxerxes. But God is going to interrupt Nehemiah's life. God is going to awaken him. So Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. If you want a name for your kids, there you go. Hakaliah. I love wake up. I'd have so much fun with that. It's not even funny. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In other words, this is Nehemiah's journal. This is Nehemiah's writings about his experiences. So this is Nehemiah's journal. In the month of Kislev, which would be our current modern month of December, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, another one, parents, there's a good one, one of my brothers came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. The awakening for Nehemiah begins in a place of comfort and influence. He was right-hand man to one of the most powerfulest men at that particular time in history. And God steps in and God interrupts. And in this moment of awakening, God starts with the awakening of his heart. That's where God begins awakening Nehemiah. He begins with the awakening of his heart. And for every big moment in Christian history, it always seems to begin when God awakens one woman's or one man's heart. And yesterday morning at the men's prayer breakfast, I was seated at a table with some men and hearing them talk about some of the things that matter to them most, I could sense God stirring within these men an awakening of the heart. An awakening to the hurt and the abuse and the evil that they see on a daily basis, or maybe they even see on the TV, or maybe that they even hear. And in that table, sitting, listening to these men talk about that, I began thinking, you know what, God, you could do something amazing. You could awaken a movement for your good and your glory within just the men sitting at this table. For Nehemiah, the revival that's about to take place, it started with the awakening of his heart. God comes to Nehemiah through one of his brothers. And his brother says, "Hey, Nehemiah, there are some things going on in Jerusalem. There are some things going on outside of your comfort and your care in Jerusalem, the place where our ancestors are from, the place where your roots are found. Hey, Nehemiah, there's something going on out there. The walls are broken down. The gates have been burned with fire. And the people left there are in disgrace and they are in great trouble." Now just imagine how you would feel if your hometown, the place where your roots are grounded, just imagine with me how you would feel if you got news that that place was gone, that that place had been destroyed. How would you feel? How would you feel if your hometown was burned to the ground? In the days of Nehemiah, walls were a pretty big deal. If a city did not have walls around it, the city would be open and subject to everyone with ill will or ill intent. Walls were a very big deal for Nehemiah's time. So Nehemiah's brother comes to him with news of a depressing manner, if you will. But Nehemiah comes to him with bad news that begins to awaken his heart. And it's not just that Ananias' news was bad. It's that this news from Nehemiah's brother was old. This is old news that reaches Nehemiah's ears that eventually awakens his heart. You see, the exile had taken place 140 years before Nehemiah's brother comes to him with this news. 140 years. Just let that sink in for just a moment. Nehemiah is hearing old, 140-year-old news. It would be the equivalent of somebody bursting in here, somebody running in here and interrupting our service and saying, "Hey, the president's been shot." And we're all like, "What? President Trump has been shot?" "No, President Lincoln." And all of us are like, "What? President Lincoln? Eighth grade American history? Lincoln?" And what would be even more weird if some of you would fall to your knees and begin weeping? That's the setting that we have here for Nehemiah with the awakening of his heart. It's not that it was bad news, it was that it was old news. It was 140-year-old news that awakens Nehemiah's heart. The breaking of Nehemiah's heart in this moment is not a sociological breaking. It's a spiritual breaking. His heart is awakened to a reality that has been happening for a long, long time. And so often when the Spirit of God interrupts a church, the Spirit begins disrupting things, awakening things that have been going on for a long, long time. And the truth is that before God will use you, He will break your heart, so that when your heart breaks, you will be awake to the truth that God is up to something. But the truth is, for many of us, we don't want our hearts broken. We don't like it. It sounds painful. But before God will use us, before God will use us, so often God's going to have to break our hearts. God's going to have to awaken our hearts. And once He does that, watch out. Because every big movement in Christian history begins when God breaks a man's heart or a woman's heart. I'm about to go strobe here. Hey, Ron, can you help me? I'm about to go strobe. This old new situation for Nehemiah was a new breakthrough for God to use him in fresh new ways. Verses 5 through 7 of chapter 1. Don't worry about the stroke. If I start breakdancing, I'm just going back to my old days. It's all good. And you guys might as well call 911 because they'll be needed. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my ancestral family, have committed against you." You guys see that? 140-year-old news has caused Nehemiah to say, I am confessing not only my own sins, but the sins of my ancestral family. The sins that are 140 years old plus. I confess not only my own, but the sins of those who have come before me. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, the decrees, and the laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction. Yeah, stop in verse 7. One of the ways that the Spirit of God is working in our lives and in the churches is seen when I and we stop pointing our fingers to the brokenness out there. And instead, we begin raising our hands to the brokenness in here. Nehemiah's heart is being awakened not just to the physical hardship of the people. His heart is being awakened to the reality of what his sin, how that has contributed to their circumstances. Do you guys see that? You talk about a swallowing of the pride. You're talking about an opening of your hands and not holding on and gripping tight. Nehemiah is what he's going all in. And he sees how his sin has contributed to something that was 140 years old. This is a very humbling story that we have going on here. Verses 8 and 9. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Not only was Nehemiah's heart awakened, but the second thing that takes place is there was an awakening of the mind. Verse 8 begins with, remember, Lord, your purposes and your promises. There was this awakening of the mind that took place for Nehemiah. And Nehemiah centers on the truth that God is better at restoring than the people are at destroying. That God is better at rebuilding than they are at tearing down. God, despite all that is going on out there in the culture, you are awakening my mind to the truth that you are immeasurably capable of doing more than I could possibly ask or imagine. Ephesians 3, verse 20 is a powerful, powerful statement of the awakening of the heart, but also the awakening of the mind. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. This is a doxology from Paul. This is a prayer from Paul. But what would happen if we actually believed this were true? To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Another verse in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Some of us know this verse too well that we've lost the ability to hear it. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is your lifestyle. This is your calling. This is your identity. We are walking altars, is what we are. We are living sacrifices. In verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to see what God is up to in your life. Then you will have the eyes and the heart and the ears to see what God is doing in His church. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, His good will. perfect, pleasing, good will. The renewing of our minds. The awakening of the heart. And there was an awakening of the mind. In a spiritual awakening, we begin to see God differently. We begin to see our lives differently. We begin to see our desires, our passions differently. We begin to see the world around us differently. In a spiritual awakening, you begin to see that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaiah, the God of Jeremiah, the God of Daniel, the God of Nehemiah, the God fully revealed in Jesus Christ is my God and your God and our God, who is not dead, whose strength is not gone, whose power has not left him. Because God is God. A spiritual awakening can occur when we believe that you, God, can restore. That you, God, can rebuild. That you are immeasurably capable of doing more than what we could ever possibly ask or imagine. If the walls around your life are burned down, if the marriage is a mess, if the marriage is over and the divorce is doing its thing, if your relationships with your kids and your siblings or other family is almost beyond repair, your job situation is on life support, there is hope, because God is not through with you yet. Ephesians 3, verse 20, just one more time. If you need to write this on a card and put it in the dash of your car, I encourage you. If you need to put sticky tape on it and put it in the mirror in your bathroom, I encourage you to. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, that we could possibly ever ask or imagine. His power, His Spirit is at work within us, because God is not done. He is not finished. The exile was 140 years old. How do you think the people living in Persia felt about Jerusalem? How do you think they felt about the promised land of milk and honey? That's old news. That was a lie to begin with. We didn't stand a chance. Nehemiah's heart was awakened. Nehemiah's mind was awakened. And then, finally, there is an awakening of the will. Verses 10 and 11. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. After the awakening of the heart to all that is going on out there and in him, after the awakening of the mind to God's sufficiency to rebuild that which has been destroyed, now Nehemiah's will has been awakened. And isn't it true that once your will has awakened, apathy can quickly turn into action? Apathy, which is one of the greatest sins that the church has to wrestle with today. Once our will is awakened, it can be quickly turned into action. But you see, we live in a culture that is filled with advocates, but is seriously lacking in activists. Everyone wants to use their voice, but very few of us want to use our lives. But what would happen if before you hit post on Facebook, or what would happen if before you hit tweet on Twitter, you first had to live it out first? Like there was this imaginary code that prevented you from hitting post or from hitting tweet. First, you had to live it out. What would happen then? We all want to use our voice, but God is calling and looking for us to surrender our lives. For Nehemiah, there was this moment when it just wasn't enough to cry in the palace. It just wasn't enough to cry in the comfort and the care of Artaxerxes' palace. It wasn't just enough to see the world differently, though that's a part of the journey. For Nehemiah, it was, God, I want to be used for your good purposes. Would you give me success as I step into the impossible? Would you give me success as I actually begin to believe that Ephesians 3, verse 20, is more than just a doxology of prayer, that it's actually a truth statement? That God, you can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. God, would you give me success as I believe that? As I actually step in to believing that. God, I want you to awaken me. Jared, you can come on down, brother. Break my heart for what breaks yours is a song we sing and arise often. It's a line. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. It's what we're asking when we ask God to awaken our hearts. Break our hearts, God, for what breaks yours. Awaken my mind to your sufficient power. Awaken my will to want to surrender to your will. So that when we pray every week, your will be done, your will be done. We mean it. Your kingdom come, your rule and reign come on earth as it is in heaven. We mean it because we're surrendering our will to his will. Because we believe it to be good. I want to be used for your good purposes. Stand with me, please. As we sing this song, this is a song of invitation for anybody who is in need of prayer. If you just want to talk to one of us about what it might mean for you to surrender your will over to God. Maybe God is currently at work in your life, awakening your heart, awakening your mind, awakening your will, and you don't know what to do with it. Come grab one of us. Come talk to one of us. We would love to listen to you and to maybe pay attention to what God is up to in your life. Before we sing, I want you to hear this. What would happen, church in the falls? What would happen in your home, in your apartment, in your workplace, in your life, and in the sphere of all that your influence reaches, if you asked God, and I mean really asked God, if you sought after God to awaken your heart, to awaken your mind, and to awaken your will, what would happen if we really pursued after that? Let's worship.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name gives sight. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name brings light. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is life.
Be dismissed with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory and power, majesty and strength throughout all generations, worlds without end. Amen. You are dismissed.